Robin McCarron.
Should we begin with the puking, or should we begin with the topics that will change the face of WWE forever?
Jeff Hawkins.
We are not here to talk about Curtis Hughes.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Nobody's listening for hockey talk.
Well, we've had about 400 hours of WWE. Everybody's hurt. And everybody has a title change. Hi, it's Shake Them Ropes, post-SummerSlam edition. With me, as always, your host, a recovering Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jeff Hawkins. for those of you who are very upset with the amount of words I spoke last week, you will be quite happy with this episode.
Nobody was that upset. It was fine.
Jeff Hawkins will be doing the heavy lifting tonight. I am sick, as I have no voice, as I was asleep a half an hour ago, and now I am back, and I woke up to tonight's breaking news and the biggest story of the weekend, Jeff. Enzo Amore.
Amore on 205 Live.
Is the main eventer on 205 Live. He is the next title program, it seems, for Adrian Neville.
Congratulations on your demotion, Enzo. This is what you get for pissing people off and for your partner getting hurt, or your former partner getting hurt.
And really nothing else to do. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, he has some demotion. He goes from one show doing nothing to two shows doing something.
Yeah, no, I guess that's okay. And you know what? I think, God, is that the big plans they have for Neville? Is that what they were thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Why not?
You know, I guess it's a personality, and that show could use a little bit more personality, although I never thought it was a lack of character that was the problem. It's just the way that they script things makes it seem like a low-rent WWE light. That's all.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 205 Live. If this so means he's not on Raw as much anymore, that would be a good thing.
Well, so he goes – so Neville goes – from having great matches with Tozawa and Austin Aries to Enzo.
So he goes from, you know, not working WWE to working WWE again.
Yeah, I guess.
Really is what it is. This is like, okay, Neville, you can have your pro bono. It's time to give us what we want. Time to give us a promotion with Enzo Amore. Who's conveniently shot into main event status. Hey, what do you make of Jimmy Jacobs showing up on TV all over the place?
When did he show up?
He was on Raw last night, just randomly in the hallway. He was with Sami Zayn tonight, blown off by Kevin Owens. I mean, the guy's showing up on TV. I mean, that could only mean one thing. He's going to face the winner of Neville and Enzo Amore. That's the only thing it could mean.
See, that more caters to your fandom because you're the big ROH fan. I remember Jimmy Jacobs in spurts, but not, you know, he's not someone I can't say I have a catalog of his work up in my head. Let's put it that way.
Well, get ready to start stuffing that catalog full, as he's clearly the main eventer of WrestleMania coming up. So much to discuss. I would just like to repeat that I was right about everything I said last week, and it's all come to fruition.
Example?
No, I don't remember what I said last week. I just assume it was all right.
I just loved your text. Has Adam Cole shown up yet? Nope. Yep.
I thought for sure he was showing up to beat up Aleister Black. Had no idea he was going to come in to be the main eventer of the brand.
Yeah, let's start with NXT TakeOver because man, I loved that show so much that I had to get on the Fightful after show to talk about it.
It was pretty great. It was a pretty great special.
Well, not just that, it exceeded our expectations because we set a few low bars there. And for me, the big theme, I mean, you could have called that NXT Redemption for a lot of people. I mean, even in losing, a lot of guys on that show looked good. I mean, Ember Moon lived up to her potential finally after we thought that star was faded. Hideo Itami looked really, really great here. Alexander Wolfe, who both of us absolutely killed. Where has this Alexander Wolfe been all our lives? Just goes in, starts throwing dudes, babyface fire.
I will tell you something about Alexander Wolfe, and the body's not there, and that's what would ever hurt him in the main roster. And don't give me, oh, well, Bray Wyatt's a big star. There's differences. Alexander Wolfe has the confidence, and he looks like a guy who knows what he's going in there to do. May not be the best wrestler in the world right now, but there's still time. There's plenty of time. There's an infinite amount of time. But yeah, you're right. There was a fire in him. And whether it was the fact that he was in a big stage and he's you know, out of Full Sail and he kind of sees what the big stage is like, I don't know. But there was something there. There was something there with him. Unfortunately.
Like, let's put it this way. For me being wrong, because I'm not often wrong, but there are times I am wrong, and I was very wrong about this.
Last week was the Jeff Hawkins is wrong episode.
Yeah, okay. I was, in my mind, complaining about Wolf, even when they did the Freebird rule switch, because I was going, nope, Eric Young tagged out the wrong guy. It should have been Dane and Eric Young so that this match could be enjoyable. Boy, was I wrong.
And
that Nikki Cross, Killian Dane spot, I howled. I loved it.
Nikki Cross is great. She's fantastic. And that was a, because that was, probably the weakest match going in. You know, if there was going to be a bathroom break match, it was the tag team title match. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. It was the shortest match in the show, even though all the, pre-main event matches were all relatively about the same time, same length. It was great. There was no downside on this show.
Yeah, I don't care if it was a short match as long as it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I really don't. It was good. You want to go match by match?
I don't want to go match by match. What I want to tell you right now is, you know, I did a poll at Shake Them Ropes is the Twitter feed. I did a poll. What was the best match of the weekend? And two of the match selection, and Twitter's a limited poll. You can only choose four options. So I chose three matches and other and let people fill in because there were more than four options really for best match of the weekend. There was the one that I felt was the strongest, and that was the main event of SummerSlam. But you could have gone Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano. You could have gone Asuka versus Ember Moon. You could have done the Usos and the New Day tag team title match. You could have even gone the Raw tag team title match if you really wanted to stretch it, I feel. But this opener, Andrade Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano, Cien Almas may be the MVP of NXT TakeOver over the last year. Cien has been fantastic on TakeOver since he's arrived. He's had Roderick Strong's best match. He's had Bobby Roode's best match, and now he's had Johnny Gargano's best NXT match.
And he may have, on the Dallas one that they didn't show, he had a nice Oney Lorcan match that I don't know if that
name's
got to
go
TV or not.
Name's got to go. Not it's because terrible. Everyone's never going to be able to pronounce it. This isn't a Dolph Ziggler situation where it's just a silly name but easy to say. Oney Lorcan. Oney Lorcan needs to go. He's a goober. And what do you make of this Martin Stone, Oney Lorcan, Oney Lorcan, whatever, Oney Larkin, who, whatever the fuck. What do you make of this series that they're putting on NXT as, like, these are the ultimate bottom-of-the-card guys, but, hey, look at them. Look at them go out there and fight, because this Martin Stone and Oney Lorcan series has been quite great.
No, I'm fine with it, and if they start teaming up, look, NXT needs tag teams, so I'm cool with two guys who can beat on each other and have that kind of respect, you know. I'm all for it. I really have enjoyed it, but no, I agree. I mean, Almas is another one. The redemption line. I mean, this might be the first time a guy gets a gimmick that's basically complaining about him and his inability to get over, and he eventually turns it around. I mean, that's the amazing thing to me, is that bringing in Thea Trinidad, whatever her name is now, I mean, has done wonders for this. Has done wonders for this character, and the way that they got Gargano to lose was perfect. It was
a DIY shirt. He was afraid of it. You know, I don't know if it came across really to the crowd at the time because he couldn't reveal what the shirt was. I hope most people who were paying attention knew. And you had Nigel McGuinness on commentary did mention that it was a DIY shirt. So it was a pretty creative way for him to lose. It was all split second, too, because it's not like Cien Almas was taking 2 minutes to recover from something while Johnny Gargano was sad about the t-shirt. It was all within like a 2 second gap. Like he gets thrown the shirt and Almas is already up and kicking him in the face. So it was quite a great match. You know, it flew by too. I mean, it was 14 minutes long. It felt like it was five. And that's the secret to these great matches. The tag team title match, fantastic. Aleister Black stuck up the joint against Hideo Itami.
Wait, hold on. But I'll add one thing because you're just trolling me on that one. I thought, you know what? That's one of those matches where that blood really made that match for both Hideo and Aleister Black. It made him a scrappy underdog and made Hideo Itami. It gave him that legit badass credibility.
Yeah, he needs it too. That's the good Hideo Itami.
Yeah, no, that was a really good match. And the women's match. I mean, that I wasn't certain how good that was going to be, but man, did that exceed my expectations. My favorite little moment in that match was when Asuka puts on the disarmer and starts taunting Becky Lynch in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was so great.
Well, I just love the crowd, how fast they got into this one. They wanted to see Asuka lose. I think they wanted to just be part of history. They wanted to be part of Asuka's first loss, and it didn't happen. And yeah, Asuka's great. They're doing the injury angle here. I don't know if it's an angle or she's really hurt. But they're doing the injury.
I think it's an angle, just so that it doesn't overshadow the Mae Young Classic. But before we get off the match, and speaking of Becky Lynch, they did the same thing with Ember that they did with Becky after the Sasha NXT title match. That the brave in defeat kind of build to make her a bigger star. I thought that was very impressive how they did that.
Yeah, and now, what are you going to have here? Because they're playing it like it's a collarbone injury, which those don't take, you know, those take a while to recover from. So is Asuka going to be out for a little bit? What will Ember Moon be doing? Will they just be acknowledging the Mae Young Classic competitors? You know, the final is here just in what, 2 or 3 weeks? You know, the first episodes haven't even aired yet. They air next Monday. But you have a short turnaround time for this Mae Young Classic. They're taping NXT TV this Thursday. They can play around with these Mae Young Classic results. They could have something by the final hour that they tape on Thursday of NXT TV. They could be doing something with the final four, the final two of the Mae Young Classic. So they
winner is the interim champ, maybe?
I don't know about interim champ because that would seem kind of cheap. Unless it's going to be, you know, Kairi Sane or you know. Whatever, because we've been talking about Kairi Sane and Asuka potentially for WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah,
they could do something like that. I don't see it just because that would be kind of cheap. But if the, you know, Ember Moon loses here, she's lost twice now. You don't really have anyone else in NXT on the women's division ready to challenge Asuka. This could basically make a challenger and make a legit challenger from nothing. So that could be an idea.
And, you know, and the other thing other than your proposed WrestleMania program there is the possibility of using both Asuka and the Mae Young Classic to build that horsewomen feud that's been rumored around.
Yeah, rumored around. Speaking of USC, John Jones tested positive for steroids. So this John Jones, Brock Lesnar thing happening in the UFC is not going to ever happen, it seems like now. John Jones might be gone for a while.
It might appear that the WWE has gained negotiating power over Brock because Brock doesn't have that super fight to walk away from.
Yep. He doesn't have the super fight right now. He would have a lame ass fight, which would keep him in WWE anyway, just like the Mark Hunt fight. And you never know. Does John Jones do something in WWE? Do they bring him into WWE to do a Brock Lesnar match?
No. No.
Not while suspended. You know, well, Brock Lesnar's suspended right now. I mean,
yeah, but I think Jones is going to fight the appeals, and if they can't, he'll go to Japan and fight for money. I think he's more of a fighter than a pro wrestler.
I think he's got more money than he needs to be fighting elsewhere, though.
True.
Yeah, and that doesn't look good on commissions when you go outside of the country to fight and then try to get a license again. So if he wanted to fight in the U.S. ever again, but we're talking like 2 years it might be for John Jones. So no Brock Lesnar fight. Brock Lesnar, too old by the time John Jones comes back. He's probably too old now, to be real. Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is the new NXT champion. Bobby Roode is now the new SmackDown number one babyface. LOL.
Are you sure about that?
He's the number two.
Are you sure he's a babyface? Because I'm not so certain.
I think with that entrance, they're bringing up to SmackDown to be a babyface. I do.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that, and then he cut that promo.
He cut the promo about how SmackDown is glorious, and the crowd loved it.
I'm box office, though. That's a cocky move. But you know what? Good for Bobby Roode. As long as as long as I don't see every rematch he did in TNA or NXT, I'm fine.
If he is a babyface, the depth chart on the babyface side is AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bobby Roode. Explain that to a WWE fan 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mike Kanellis is missing in action.
I wouldn't say we're missing him.
He's not around. Baron Corbin took his shirt off again once more tonight as a referee. SmackDown's in disarray. SmackDown isn't just John Cena's gone. He's back on Raw. The free
it
agent,
is a
John Cena.
SmackDown's officially a B show. I mean, if it's not obvious,
took one year, longer, I think, than most people
less.
Might have. Yeah, it took 1 year. I think people were thinking, I was thinking, you know, John Cena's not there. AJ Styles, the top guy, you know, SmackDown, the superstar shakeup. I don't know if it helped or hurt, but SmackDown, man, AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke Nakamura, Baron Corbin, Shelton Benjamin's back. Shelton Benjamin re-debuting in WWE tonight as Chad Gable's partner for 1 week before murdering him.
Yeah, that's the move. He's obviously not happy about having a tag partner.
No, he was a little he was cool coming in. You know, hey, Chad, this is cool, but you're a little bit clingy on the very first night I'm here. You're clingy. I don't want to be a tag team wrestler. I left because I didn't want to be a tag team wrestler. And now I'm back. I'm the biggest guy on the roster at this point. I should be beating Jinder Mahal for the title.
Oh, jeez. I'm not going to mind a program with these two throwing each other. It's going to be better than what they're this Dolph thing. This is death.
Dolph is
Dolph's already death, but he's doing another meta commentary gimmick. He's coming out next week, literally, with glow in the dark, whatever, and laser lights, and a platform, and smoke, and a theme song. You know that's happening.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Yep. Dolph Ziggler. Number four, babyface?
Dolph Ziggler's a heel.
Jinder Mahal might be the number four babyface.
Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, it's slim pickings here. Chad Gable, number four babyface?
Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon, the biggest guy in that match, too.
Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah, Sami Zayn's still there. That's right. I forgot all about Samuel Zayn. Did Samuel Zayn lose the Mike Kanellis program?
They went 50-50, if I recall.
Did they go 50-50?
Mm. Yes.
Poor Mike. Anyway, Drew McIntyre, new NXT champion, and not to overshadow the biggest news of Saturday night, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly are a unit, and Adam Cole looks like he's next for Drew McIntyre, although I don't know if they're going to go right away to that. One, the size difference is monumental, and two, I think Adam Cole needs a couple of wins to establish himself as a big deal on TV before getting like a takeover match. And we have plenty of time before that. It is August 23rd. We have about 3 months before the next NXT TakeOver at Survivor Series weekend. So we got a lot of time. What do you make of this group, this unit? Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish, the group of honor.
Was it Future Shock? I find the possible triple threat of the tag team more fascinating because you're going to have the Authors of Pain, probably like Dane and Wolf And then Fishing O'Reilly.
Oh, but you're leaving one out too. Guess who's ready to come back?
TM61.
Stop fucking up their name, Jeff.
All right.
TM61 is on their way back. So what do you make of that division? Because as good as the tag team division has been in the past, you know, with American Alpha before American Alpha's peak, really, because there's no way you're going to tell me Chad Gable was as good as he's going to be in his first 2 years of wrestling. Chad Gable, Jason Jordan against Murphy and Blake, you know, were good matches. Against the Revival, excellent matches. But think of a TM61 tag team, healthy, going up against Red Dragon of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. This could be the best NXT tag team series we ever see. Could be coming up here in the future.
Could be. I mean, if they stay healthy, you know. But they're also being overshadowed by two giant tag teams with a gimmick. Insanity and the Authors of Pain. So,
you think Authors of Pain are going to be there for a while?
I thought if they're going to bring them up, they'd have brought them up tonight when the Usos were cutting that promo about anybody in the locker room. That's usually the time to debut a team.
What about that Raw side, though? You got that Raw side where Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have already just defeated the Hardy Boys. They beat the Bar. We could see an Authors of Pain coming up here, I think.
Okay. I'll buy that. I still think that they're at least through the next tapings, if not the next takeover.
It would just be funny that SmackDown brings up, you know, Bobby Roode from NXT, but Raw wouldn't bring up anybody. I think there's someone coming up, and I think it's probably Authors of Pain.
Mm.
I would have thought Sanity, honestly, if they didn't win the tag team titles that night. I would have thought them, but Authors of Pain losing the tag team titles. Yeah, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go with they come out and destroy, absolutely murder Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose at some point. That was NXT TakeOver. We got Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Roode back. Brock Lesnar, still the Universal Champion. He won the main event of that SmackDown, or that SummerSlam show. SummerSlam, not an awful pay-per-view, not great, but that four-way main event was the best match of the year.
I won't go that far, but it was a great match.
It was the best match of the year. Give me your top three right now in order.
No, I'm not going to give you my top three in order.
Oh, interesting.
I'd have to think about it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Don't put me on the spot.
Filibustering an obvious truth of the Brock Lesnar four-way being the main event. I mean, what else could it have been? You know, Dean Ambrose versus whatever. I mean, who has Dean Ambrose wrestled this year? Because I forget.
You mean main roster matches?
WWE match of the WWE, New Japan, Lucha Underground, TNA, GFW, all of them. Ring of Honor. Yeah, easily.
Look,
match of the year.
I loved the match. I did. Just a hoss battle. I thought Roman Reigns was terrible in it.
Really?
I loved it. Oh, all he did was Superman punch all the damn time.
True.
I mean,
that's true.
And it looks bad when he does that stupid cock the fist like a gun crap
before he cocks the fist, though, man. If you do the super punch without cocking the fist, there's no oomph behind it. Don't you know how pro wrestling works?
It was a weird show to me because it was like the end of the pre-show was so fantastic with that New Day Usos match, which defied my expectations. I thought that was such a great match. And then you had the end of this, which was just I like chaos type of matches where, you know what, if it's no DQ, yeah, I'm slamming guys through three tables and just destroying the joint to do it. And I like the ending, although, you know, you beat Roman and Roman's all of a sudden in another main event and you're like, well, what's the use of beating him then? And in between, it was a lot of meh good to kind of good type of stuff, but nothing that really will be memorable. Like, I thought that Sasha Alexa Bliss match was quite good, but it wasn't, you know, blow away fantastic, but it was pretty darn good for what it was. You know, the Raw tag team matches you mentioned before, I thought was quite good also. Cesaro coming a hero on Monday by ripping up a beach ball.
Yeah, he did. Those beach balls. That was the story of the weekend for people who wanted to complain about things on Twitter.
Yeah. And the rest of the matches were, you know, they were okay to very good. I mean, that Owens AJ match for all the shenanigans was as good as it was gonna be.
Yeah, those two don't gel. It was like AJ and Chris Jericho. Those two couldn't work together very well.
You don't think they gel?
AJ and Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
No. AJ and Kevin Owens has sucked every single time out.
Wow.
It has been bad. I'm questioning whether Kevin Owens should even be in the company. It's that bad.
This is your Aleister Black thing then. Okay.
Well, no, Aleister Black is bad. Kevin Owens is fine. He's not very good in the ring, but that's not what Kevin Owens is supposed to be. Kevin Owens is great for other reasons. He's okay in the ring. He's serviceable. You give him a gimmick and you give him Sami Zayn and he's the best wrestler of all time, but you take away one of those two things and he's not that fantastic. Mm. Name one Kevin Owens match where people are like, oh my God, that was a great match outside of anything involving Sami Zayn. You can't. There hasn't been one.
The Dean Ambrose one where they stacked all the chairs at the end.
Oh, so there was a gimmick involved. Yes, I said remove one and you can't tell me a match. You remove Sami Zayn, you remove a gimmick, and Kevin Owens has never done anything in his entire career. Not one thing.
You're full of hot takes tonight. I like this.
Not necessarily a hot take either. I don't know any. People go out there, find a Kevin Owens match that didn't involve a chair or a ladder or Sami Zayn. And look at the stars. It's one of them. One star. A lot of meh. Anyway, yeah, SummerSlam was great just for that main event. It was fantastic. What do you make of Jinder Mahal keeping the World Heavyweight Championship of the WWE?
I think I called that. I called that exactly how it was going to happen. Singh Brothers.
Of course you called it.
Yeah. Well, I called two. There were two things that I nailed
on
that SummerSlam card. That and the Randy Orton match was going to be RKO and 10 minutes worth of posing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hit that. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I felt bad for, just to tie in Raw a little bit, I really liked The Miz on Monday.
You like The Miz on Monday? Yeah, well, The Miz's promo. I mean, The Miz fired up is the best promo in the company. He's great.
When you're just doing a match for the social media guy because the stadium can't bother to open up because I guess there was miscommunication there. Yeah. I mean, that's WrestleMania in Dallas bad right there.
Oh, WrestleMania in Dallas. Man, I'm glad I wasn't there. What was the WrestleMania where people couldn't get into the building? That was Dallas, right?
That was Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I wasn't there.
That was awesome.
You got in. Well, congratulations to you. There are still some people out there trying to get in for that WrestleMania. It's very difficult. It's very difficult trying to get in. You know what else is very difficult? Hiring and finding the best candidates. This will be fun. Let Rob make an ad read when he has no voice, can't read anything, super tired at 11:40 at night. Let's do it. ZipRecruiter, everybody. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100+ job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. Looking for a job? Don't go after Baron Corbin, expert jobber. Go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails, no calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Jeff's going to use it here soon to find a replacement host on Shake Them Ropes. Right now, listeners to this very show, and Jeff included, can use ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/shake. ZipRecruiter.com/shake. One more time, go for free right now. Try it out. You'll be happy you did. ZipRecruiter.com/shake. I did it.
This is why you're the professional half of this podcast, Rob.
Yeah, super professional right now. Super professional. Should have been drinking tonight. Try to get rid of all these this strep or whatever it is I have. Does that work? Does alcohol kill diseases?
I don't know. I've had someone say, "Oh, just drink a bottle of bourbon and it'll kill anything that's inside of you." You know,
kind of old timey fake. That can't be true. You can't just – every answer can't be drink a bottle of German – or bourbon. Drink a bottle of German bourbon. Is that even a real thing? I don't know.
I don't think it is, but you know the – like most cough syrups and things like that are like heavy in alcohol.
Well, yeah, but it just reminds me of like, you know, you see these remedies from the early 1900s were just like, go do some cocaine. It helps you breathe. It helps clear your head. Like – we're still doing that with alcohol right now. Just pour alcohol on the wound.
The correct answer for you is rest is the number one thing.
Oh, what am I doing here?
Well, you have an obligation to me because I watched all this wrestling.
I do. Feel real bad if I can't be here. You watched all this wrestling. Not all of it bad this weekend. I mean,
no.
We got Shelton Benjamin back. We got Adam Cole showing up. We got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Aleister Black still has to get his.
I'll just give you another note that the promo video for the Mae Young Classic, mostly good. Corey does this bit where he picks every woman they do a profile on to win, which is annoying after the first two times. But other than that, I thought, much like the bracketology for the Cruiserweight Classic, it was pretty darn good, I thought.
Pretty good, and because we had the match, we have the Mae Young Classic, and we already had Cruiserweight Classic, we saw how they did bracketology and then focused on certain superstars throughout the tournament. You can even put more emphasis on some of the stars they kind of highlighted here. Dakota Kai, mm-hmm. Kairi Sane, Lacey Evans even, Mercedes Martinez getting number one spot in the billing. They're going to focus on these names. They're going to make stories out of them. I'm interested to see what kind of stories they make. Throughout the tournament.
Not only that, they mentioned the trifecta stable from Shimmer, which is one of my favorite things that Mercedes Martinez does, and they're going to use that, I think, as part of an angle too in it, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I honestly, I've looked at the spoilers, but we're not going to have any spoilers on the show because I've honestly forgot them. I mean, I don't remember who's in the Final Four. I don't even remember if they've already done the Final Four. I can't recall. I mean, I assume Kairi Sane's going to go far. I assume with the way they emphasized Mercedes Martinez and Shayna Baszler and even Lacey Evans being one of their talents. I mean, she might go far. I don't know what the Final Four is. I'm going to be watching the shows because I am interested to see how Candice LeRae does. Super interested to see how Serena Deeb does. I mean, after watching the bracketology show and just, you know, not seeing Serena Deeb for a while, I want to see everything Serena Deeb. So this will be a fun time. I don't know if I'm going to binge watch the shows all at once at first when they first get released. Maybe leading up to the final, I'll just kind of work my way through all the shows and I'll be a little behind, but that's okay. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how necessary it becomes. But that is the Mae Young Classic. What else do I have in my notes? I have Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar as the main event of No Mercy. Braun Strowman killed everyone. He killed, murdered everyone dead. That was a star-making performance. Braun Strowman should have won. Braun Strowman should be the main event of WrestleMania. They should have gone Braun Roman or Braun John Cena or Braun Undertaker. Braun Undertaker should be your main event of WrestleMania. If there's any ambiguity over whether Undertaker is retired or not, he should limp out of his little grave at WrestleMania night. Braun Strowman should murder him, decapitate him, put him in two different graves so he can never come back, and that is the end of The Undertaker. Bodiless, headless, two graves, WrestleMania.
Family entertainment, everybody!
Well, I mean, the main event of WrestleMania is going to go on at, you know, 1:30 a.m. in the morning at this rate.
Yes.
The way all these pay-per-views go. So all the kiddles will be asleep. Undertaker, it was very weird. You know, there were rumors that Undertaker was around, New York SummerSlam weekend. You know, I never bought into that. What a weird time for him to show up, but it starts getting people thinking, okay, is he really gone? I mean, he did the whole gimmick at the end of WrestleMania, but Michael Cole said something about Roman Reigns. leading up to this match at SummerSlam, he said that Roman Reigns may have retired The Undertaker. Not Roman Reigns did retire The Undertaker. Roman Reigns may have. I wonder if they're trying to get Undertaker for another WrestleMania.
I think so, or maybe even Survivor Series or Hell in the Cell.
And they should be Braun Strowman. I think they're trying to get...
No, hold on. Hell in the Cell is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Not Hell in the Cell. Well, I mean, hell. Undertaker's still technically a SmackDown guy.
Well, you know, he has no boundaries now. He can go wherever he pleases. Yeah, okay.
He's now the hottest free agent in wrestling. Undertaker, if they're trying to get him to come back, I can only imagine it's for one guy, and that's Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Man, I don't want to see that.
Oh, I do. I want to see that's Headless Undertaker.
More ways than one. I don't know. I mean, that's a nice main event though for an LA card. And they've, our last pay-per-view was the Hell in the Cell with, Undertaker and Lesnar. The one where, who's it? Cena and Del Rio were doing the open challenge. And that was Del Rio's magnificent comeback.
And he, that was his peak too.
Yeah. Yeah.
His peak with his magnificent comeback.
Yeah, he got the pop, and then he started to wrestle.
I mean, Brock Lesnar is probably winning. I mean, at this point, why take the title off of him? If the story was always Brock and Roman, and I still think they're leading that way, then they just do a Brock Lesnar killing of Braun Strowman in the best way possible. Maybe not even a killing. Maybe it's another one of those, like Samoa Joe match, like he escapes. A little bit more than the 50-50 that Joe Brock was. Like, Braun Strowman might just destroy him for 10 minutes, and then Brock hits one F5 and wins.
Do you not do what they usually do during the fall through winter season prior to Rumble and put the belt on someone new just to see how it goes?
Well, not if the idea... I thought they would do that on SmackDown with Baron Corbin. Doesn't look like it at this point. Jinder Mahal's already the something new, but at the Raw side, no way. If you're going to do Brock and Roman Reigns, Brock can't lose in the middle. He's got to be dominant until Roman Reigns gets his chance to finally put him out.
Man, I think, I don't know. I might call an audible heel here and just have Brock and Strowman at Mania.
Braun should have won at SummerSlam. He was the guy. That was his star-making performance.
And he could have done it by not beating Brock. He could have been the one to pin Roman, and that would have been fine.
I don't care who pins who, as long as Braun is pinning everybody. Everybody. He should pin every body in the universe. Finn Balor. What do you make in that Finn Balor match on Raw? Destroying Jason Jordan. Okay, and Jason Jordan, like we said, Jason Jordan does not have to win every match he's in. The story is, you know, eventually Kurt Angle's going to give him chances. Eventually, Kurt Angle's going to give him a chance he doesn't really deserve. And maybe we turn heel with him on that. So it's completely cool that Jason Jordan loses a Raw match. He's not getting buried.
He lost SummerSlam, though, too.
He lost SummerSlam. That's fine. I always thought he was going to lose matches. Because if you're doing the Kurt Angle son gimmick, it's not like he's all of a sudden the best wrestler in the company. He's going to suck for a while. And then we start to see a dad who might be protecting his son. Then we start to see a heel Jason Jordan. It's all going to be organic that way. Anyway, this isn't about Jason Jordan. Finn Balor was a little dick. And I like this new Finn Balor. I like a Finn Balor who could still be a babyface, could still be a crowd favorite, but has a little heelish side. Like, I should be the Universal Champion. I didn't lose my belt. I haven't gotten the rematch. I'm not going to take it much longer. Being in the middle of the card wrestling the Jason Jordans of the world. I love Finn Balor over the last 2 days.
Really? I thought he was just being a dick because of the beach ball stuff.
Well, I mean, if that was the motivation for doing it, then he should imagine a beach ball being played with every match he's ever in.
Okay.
Because that was great. I mean, he's not doing... He was kicking away Jason Jordan's hand when Jason offered a handshake. That was before, I think, the beach ball made an appearance. He was acting a little more, you know, aggressive, if you will. He was acting more demonish from Sunday night. I could see a new Finn Balor coming. That's what I saw. maybe it's a one night thing and it was nothing. And it was just, maybe he was frustrated. I don't know. But I would like to see more of Finn Balor from Monday night in every match he's in from here on out. We have not discussed the best match of SummerSlam yet. Randy Orton, Rusev, 10 seconds of wisdom.
Do you buy that Rusev asked for his release?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Why would he?
I mean,
he's got to pay for that sweet home in Nashville. Lana as a, 15th from the top lead and Bring It On 5 isn't going to pay for that house.
Well, it's odd because Lana has a more central part on SmackDown than Rusev does, and Lana's the reason he's in the doghouse.
Yeah. I mean, he's also coming back from an injury.
True.
Give the guy time. But that Randy Orton match, man, from bell to bell. Best match of the night. Best pound for pound match of the world. That Randy Orton Rusev. Big cast, big show. That was a disaster. Natalia did what none of us thought we could do, or she could do, and that was win the women's championship. Naomi cried, sad. And now it seems like we might get a rematch, Naomi and Natalia, on TV, because it's like 2 months until the next SmackDown pay-per-view. But this Carmella gimmick, she's holding the briefcase. She's going to hold it for a while. And now she's on the heel side with Natalia. Would a heel cash in on a heel?
Oh, I thought you had a follow-up to that.
I may have, but then I lost my voice and I had to stop talking. And I hoped you wouldn't bring attention to it and you would just answer it. But no, you didn't.
Oh, no, I'm completely unprofessional.
Pregnant pause.
Oh, that thing had given birth. Yeah, it. Man, that's SmackDown Women's Division. Again, even though they shook it up. Our top program is Natty and Carmella, which is, I think Carmella's a perfect troll here. But your secondary is Lana and Tamina. And then you have Naomi, Becky, and Charlotte doing nothing other than feeding these two programs. That's just weird, man. Especially, look, today is the 2-year anniversary of NXT Brooklyn 1. And I rewatched that Sasha Bailey match, man, and that thing, the crowd was hot. Everything from that opening video to the final curtain call was perfect about that thing. And you just thought that it was going to change the business, and you watch now, and it's like, none of the horsewomen are doing anything. I mean, Sasha's pretty much going to be there to give the title to Nia, I think, eventually. It's like, I hate to bring this up. Here's a shot from way back when. I'm starting to believe Dylan Hales's political hit theories in relation to the NXT roster at times, because it's like anybody who gets over on NXT doesn't get over on the main roster, really.
Oh, really, son?
Well, no, there are some.
Enzo Amore's the main eventer of 205 Live. Bobby Roode is the third from the top babyface on SmackDown.
He just debuted.
I mean, I'm tearing away at your thesis here pretty easily.
Well, I'm just thinking your top women, at least. Okay, then we'll just make it for women, because right now, okay, Carmella and Alexa Bliss are your two top women on their respective brands, really.
What will the match be at No Mercy? Is it going to be Roman Reigns and John Cena? Is it going to be John Cena and Samoa Joe? Is it going to be some type of three-way number one contendership match? Because they were doing angles for all different types of matches between those three, some combination on Monday Night Raw. You got the Roman Reigns, John Cena teaming up against each other, but Roman Reigns not quite trusting of John Cena. Kind of seeing, it's as if he sees John Cena as a step in between him and Brock Lesnar in the title. Like, this is another threat as a world title challenger. I should take him out, not befriend him. Clearly nowhere close to the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins storyline. So the reformation of the Shield is not happening anytime soon. What will the match be at No Mercy? Will it be a singles match? Will it be a triple threat? Will all three of them maybe be in other individual matches somehow? What do you see coming out on the pay-per-view 5 weeks away?
Well, the match I'd like would be Joe versus Cena, but I don't think we're getting that. I think they're going to do...
I would love Joe versus Cena. I hope that's what it is.
I hope that's what it is, but then I would think that, well, are they going to do Roman and The Miz? And they're just going to put the Intercontinental title on Roman? Because that's a possibility.
It is. It is a possibility. I don't know if they would do a triple threat, but I could see a triple threat as a number one contendership match because they have a pay-per-view again in between No Mercy and Survivor Series. So they could do another singles match and then do the whole gimmick at Survivor Series where it's team versus team.
I think Miz is involved somehow, though, with one of these guys. I mean, I don't want to see a four-way.
So if Miz is involved, then he's done with Jason Jordan, right? Jason Jordan wrestling Finn Balor, Miz not, Miz and Jason Jordan may not have their Intercontinental title match.
Yeah, that's true.
A weird one too, right? I mean, the fact that
I could see them wanting to heat up the Intercontinental title and doing it by giving it to Roman or even Joe if they wanted to. I think overall you're probably just going to get your Cena versus Roman in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you might actually get Joe versus Miz.
Could get Joe versus Miz Intercontinental
which
title.
I wouldn't mind.
That wouldn't be
I'd
bad
like to
either.
See Joe, I'd like to see Joe kill Miz.
Honestly,
and do a program.
Any of those matches with Samoa Joe would be fine. They'd be good. Yeah. I would like them. Big Cass is hurt, out 9 months with an ACL tear. So that's
at
bad
least.
Timing for him.
Yeah, at least 9 months.
And with a bigger guy, it could be a little bit longer. Relies on those legs, already have it. You know, big guys have knee issues. They just do. Sad news, Dana Brooke, her significant other, Dallas McCarver, was a bodybuilder, 26 years old, I believe, passed away last night. So Dana Brooke, condolences from everybody at Shake Them Ropes out to her. Now, Jeff, I need you to talk for the next 30 minutes or so while I make some tea.
I'll ask you something about Raw, given that we did see Dana Brooke. Is Emma about to be future endeavored with that match that we saw?
Emma's going to be the main event of WrestleMania.